the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun and moons and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourself and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We are told that climate change is the biggest global threat for humanity in the 21st century. Apparently, this will result in drought conditions in some areas of the world, thus making a decline in clean drinking water for millions upon millions of people. Whereas in other parts of the world, because of climate change, there will be the exact opposite, an overabundance of rain causing erosion of land and ultimately chaos. Now, if climate change does not destroy us, there will be that chance that overpopulation will get us first. We are told that the earth is heading towards a global suicide in the next 30 to 40 years, that the current rate of population will outgrow our food supply by then. Besides weather and food, even though our economy has seemed to recover a bit, there's no doubt about it that our national debt is out of control and there's a devaluing of the U.S. dollar. These are things to be concerned with as well. And then who can forget oil? We're told that we will eventually reach the point where there will no longer be enough oil for us, resulting in mass shortage, leading to a loss of fuel for heat, a loss of fuel for transporting goods and services, and so forth. And we cannot forget that there seems to be a battle brewing in every corner of the earth, as if things are not bad enough already. There's constant news of radical Islamic terrorism attacks on virtually every continent in this world, and even here in America. In fact, an attack happened recently just next door in Minnesota in St. Cloud at a shopping mall. In addition to all of this, everything mentioned thus far, new perversions are invented and novel ways of sinning never before imagined are being redefined to be socially acceptable in our culture, making perversion palatable. Now, dear friends, these things are evidence that humanity seems to be devolving to the worse, not evolving to the better. Earthquakes and hurricanes and famine, military mayhem, economic struggles, terrorist attacks, and social unrest all around us show us that things are not good here on earth. keep in mind, though, that in the beginning, at the very beginning, God, he did not create things this way. The Lord God created the heavens and the earth to sustain mankind by giving us our daily bread through this earth. It was a lovingly created time. The Lord lovingly created this world by his powerful word with an abundance to last beyond our imagination. But the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, that sin, it plunged both them and us into sin, into decay, and death itself. And together with Adam and Eve, humanity has also taken creation down with us. And though God graciously continues to keep the stars in the heavens and the seas at the shores by his mighty word, the fact remains that this creation, this world that we live in, is broken. It is broken and afflicted by our sin. We see this truth. We see it all around us. All we have to do is turn on the television for 5 minutes for the nightly news to witness this. But we also feel it in our bones. Things seem bad because they actually are bad. Our world is tarnished by sin. In our gospel reading from this morning, we hear more about this from Jesus. We hear that when the heavenly bodies give signs, when the nations are in chaos, when the seas are roaring, when the hearts of men fail, that these things all point to the end of all things. They point to the fact that there will be an end and that Jesus is coming back with power and great glory. These events, these signs, if you will, they should cause us to be aware that there is an end to all things. Now, considering all of this, as Christians, what are we to think and what are we to do about this world that is afflicted by sin and decay and death? Well, different people have different ideas. Right now, like false messiahs, politicians and Hollywood movie actors are on crusades to save the world if only you vote for them and join their movement and cause. On the other side of the spectrum, there are misinformed pastors who entice people to take their minds off of everything negative in the world and to believe in their happy, positive, good-feeling sermons to subscribe to what I call unicorn and rainbow theology. And there are other people. There are other people who, when faced with the realities of sin in this world, avoid and ignore the decay around them by medicating themselves with costly distractions. They run to the bottle to drown out the sorrows of life. They attempt to hide from reality by drowning themselves in drunkenness. Still others, my friends, especially unbelievers, they run around in fearful desperation against their own death and the realities of sin around them. They scramble around to try and offset the realities of death, and they scramble to blame everyone else for the sins of the world. Well, they pretend that they will live forever. They deny the power of sin while clinging to sin at the very same time unto their naive deaths. Regardless of our attempts to save the world with politicians and movie stars, or our attempts to put our heads in the sand with positive, good-feeling sermons, or our attempts to hide within a bottle of whiskey, or our attempts to scramble around trying to offset the realities of life, creation, though, has a way of sneaking up on us time and time again. It has a way of sneaking up on us to show us that this world is stuck. This world is stuck in sin. The world is passing away. The end is coming. Now, dear friends, there's no denying that this creation is broken due to sin. The signs are all around us. Furthermore, this should not surprise us. And the reason why, we know from God's word that the wages of sin are death, and that means death for us and creation itself. But even as this wildly wobbling world tilts towards the end of all things, the frightening and frustrating things around us are not without, I repeat, are not without divine purpose. You see, our merciful God, he uses these things in this world that cause us uneasiness as signs that point us forward to the last day, the end of time. But unlike the world, these signs, yes, these signs are hopeful. They are hopeful, comforting reminders to us as Christians. Consider a moment the parable of the fig tree that we read in our gospel reading from today. As soon as a person sees leaves on the fig tree, a person can understand that these leaves are signs that summer is coming. In other words, when we see these signs of destruction and calamity, we do not see them as winter and destruction and death. We do not see them as if bad things are approaching us or drawing near. But rather, we understand them as meaning that summer and life and redemption are drawing near to us. Whereas these uneasy events cause the world distress, they are there so that we might be filled with hope and peace that the Lord Jesus Christ draws near to us. They are to actually prepare us to meet the Lord himself. It is true that the world fears the day of the Lord and the end of the world. They are filled with dread and despair, for the troubling events of the world function as signs announcing that judgment day is approaching, and that there will be an end where the living and the dead will have to give an account. However, and that is a big however, that is not true for you, baptized saints. My friends, you are baptized. You are baptized saints. You are baptized into Jesus' death and his resurrection, which means that the signs and the events around us point not to the stuff of dread and despair, but of joyful expectation. Each sign is a blessed reminder filled with the hope that Christ Jesus our Lord is coming again. These signs and events of the world are like contractions of a mother giving birth. With each painful contraction, the mother knows that the blessed child and precious life is drawing near to her. And the same is true for us. We know that Christ is coming to take us home and to make all things right. So when we together, the children of God, see the universe falling apart around us, little bits at a time, we can know that the creation is grinding towards its final halt. And this, my friends, is not a time for us as God's people to cower in fear and despair. Oh no, we do not shrink, we do not pull back, we do not go into hiding, we do not deny, we do none of this, and the reason why is this: we know that it is not our judge who comes for us. I repeat, it is not our judge who comes for us, but our Redeemer. Our Redeemer to come and save us. Jesus Christ, he comes to answer what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil, we pray. Indeed, he comes to rescue us from every evil of body and soul and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven forever. Is it frightening, my friends, right now to see the decay of sin around us, the signs that point to an end? Well, maybe yes. Will it be frightening on the last day? I suppose. But, my friends, not fearful. Not fearful. You see, Jesus Christ is our Redeemer because we are his. He marked each one of you in your baptism as his beloved child. He has clothed you with righteousness. He has washed away all of your sins in his word of absolution. And very shortly, he will nourish your faith by feeding you his crucified and risen body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. You are forgiven. You are forgiven, a forgiven child of the eternal kingdom. So you have no need to fear. You have no need to fear as the world wears out around you. Those signs do not lead to your despair, but to hope. Because they point to the day that you long for, the appearing of your Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, who comes to rescue you. That is what the last day is to you who are in Christ. It is rescue and final redemption. Rescue that came to us that Christmas long ago, and final redemption that will come to us at that last day to take us home forever and ever. Therefore, this Advent season, we confess and we pray with hope, with joy, with expectation, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.